Hey, it's Mastin. Welcome to the Mastin Kid Podcast. If you want to take your first step on your trauma-informed journey, come to claimyourpowerbook.com and get my book, Claim Your Power. There are a bunch of awesome free bonuses with that, including a 40-day coaching journey with me that will get you started on your trauma-informed path. Claimyourpowerbook.com. Enjoy. It's awesome. I put my heart and soul into it. And if you want to really start your journey to do your trauma work, claimyourpowerbook.com is the place to go to get my book, Claim Your Power, and to get a bunch of free bonuses, including free coaching with me for 40 days. Please enjoy today's episode.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Good to see you. I just wanted to thank you because LPA has been a blessing. And I'm really excited. I keep hearing this next program you're doing is even better.
First of all, thank you. And the work you've been doing in LPA is amazing. This is like a Barry's boot camp for your nervous system, basically, is the way to think of it, where we're going to help build that capacity more. And it is really, in many ways, a foundational skill set for healing and for personal development. And what we wish, because we have, you know, therapists that are coaches that are inside our programs, they're like, gosh, I wish I could teach this stuff or bring this into my therapy, because it supports people who are in therapy or coaching. Because when you're not so scared of your body and your emotions, like, anything is possible, you know?
Well, I think you probably remember I was so overwhelmed with my emotions before this, and I was a pressure cooker. And now that I'm understanding myself, I'm actually more at peace already.
Yeah. So, well, you look at your state looks very different. It's only been a couple short months too. So right. Like, really, really happy. So do you have a question you want coaching, or are you just saying, hey?
Yeah. So I guess where I'm stuck right now is, you know, being born in a family where I didn't feel safe and neither parent actually created safety for me. And then I had to break up the family and then we never talked about it. I realize my father was a source of safety and fear at the same time. So I equal love to fear or love to pain. And I've been with my husband years and I realize my defense mechanisms are finally coming down and I'm realizing how difficult I've been, but I truly don't know how to feel safe. And you say safety is everything. And so for me, I feel like I'm a PTSD war veteran that as I've gotten older, it's gotten worse.
So first of all, thanks for sharing. I'm really happy that you are. Number one. Number two, it's so good that you're becoming aware of these things. And the first thing we'll say is, and I want to make this distinction. I said it, but I'll say it again because I want to make sure the part that's asking the question hears what I'm saying. Okay. The goal is safety, but I'm going to add a word. We want enough safety, because if you think about it, is there ever like 100% safety? Like, probably not, right? So what we want is we want you to start to feel safe enough to be able to, for example, share like what you're doing right now. So do you feel safe right now? Like, perfectly safe?
Yeah.
Right now? Okay. Well, that's an honor. I love that. Appreciate that. When it comes to meaningful relationships in your life, is it the same or is it harder? I would imagine.
Harder.
Yeah. Right. So there's like kind of like, if you can get like 50.00001% safety.
Yeah.
Right. There's a little bit more than half. Right. Then we can start to go in that direction, because when we talk about defense restructuring, well, what does that mean exactly? Well, we'll share more about this tomorrow, but I'll give you a little bit of a preview right now. Defense restructuring, part of that is how you show up in relationships, right? Because you can't really restructure your defenses just in the context of yourself. You're restructuring your defenses in the context of relationship. And when we talk about authentic self-expression, that doesn't mean the hills are alive. Like, that's not what that necessarily means. What it means is, oh my God, I'm so scared right now. Oh my God, I'm really sad right now, and I'm happy, or whatever it might be. And to create a shared context where both partners feel that way, because once you start to change, you're kind of changing the rules of the relationship, right? And that can be perceived as threatening to the other person. And so it's hard when you're doing your own work to know that even though you're in touch with how scared parts of you are, it's hard to sometimes hold that process can feel just as or more scary to the other person, even if they don't show it.
To the other person, meaning?
Like your husband.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're changing all the rules, probably without his, like, you know, he might be happy about it. He might not be happy about it. But either way, is I experience you as someone who's moving forward in your life, right? So you're basically like, all right, so this is how it's been for 13 years. And now I'm changing the rules and I don't really know what they're going to be, right? And so we want to be able to have enough space for him to be able to react his way without it meaning that you collapse. And that's the hard part. When people, the problem with like the conversation today about narcissism is that, first of all, narcissistic personality disorder is a diagnostic, like, mental illness that you have to, that comes from a psychiatrist or mental health professional. Okay. Are there people who have narcissistic personality traits? Sure. Is there's a spectrum? Absolutely. From like healthy self-esteem all the way to malignant narcissism, there's a spectrum for sure. Here's the problem though. Okay. It's really easy to label somebody narcissistic.
Yeah.
To avoid restructuring your defenses.
Why did you bring up narcissist?
Because it's everywhere right now, right? Oh. It's everywhere, right?
Well, my father, I titled him as a narcissist, but I didn't think I said that.
No, you didn't. What I'm saying is it's everywhere right now. And so it's like basically imagine people who like are trying to get in touch with their defenses, who are now aware of, oh shit, I kind of got to change. And I'm not that good at asserting myself. And when I've asserted myself in the past, it was kind of dangerous, right? So now I'm going to try to assert myself. And then the outside world doesn't celebrate. They disagree. It could be so hard to be disagreed with when you're first trying to assert yourself, right? That you might label that gaslighting, which is intentional, making someone intentionally question their reality, which is different than disagreement. Two healthy people will disagree and not have the same perspective. In a healthy relationship, it's not about the objective truth. It's about the subjective experience of each person's experience, which is different, always different, right? And so when we talk about this sort of trend of labeling people narcissists, we want to ask the following question. How good are you at picking up and maintaining your own space? Because if you're able to hold on to yourself, it's really hard to manipulate you. If you're able to assert yourself and trust yourself, it's really hard. And I'm not talking about narcissistic abuse where like it's like you leave and, you know, because when somebody leaves a domestic violence situation, that's like the most dangerous time to leave. It's when you could possibly be murdered and killed, all this stuff. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in like general, like non-acute situations. It's easier sometimes to label other people narcissists than it is to say, it's hard for me to take up space because when I take up space, I feel paralyzed. I feel panicked. I feel like I won't be supported. Right. So instead of saying all that and knowing how to work through that, I'm going to call you a narcissist to justify why I'm not taking up more space. And there is real impact from true narcissism. There is that both are true. When we talk about you being the one who's getting coaching right now, right? We want to say, hey, it's hard to take up space. And if I'm around strong people, which I'm assuming you want to be around people who are themselves and strong in one way or shape or form, well, that means I'm going to get the strength of their support. And I'm gonna get the strength of their disagreement. And am I able to hold on to myself in the presence of someone who disagrees with me and not need to take the next step to say, you're trying to abuse me on purpose by disagreeing with me, right? Because when we say someone's gaslighting us, that's what we're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Is that you are intentionally trying to make me question my reality to abuse me. That's what you're saying, which is like pretty intense, actually, thing to say, right? And so what we wanna differentiate is, are you able to hold on to your own experience, and can you learn how to experience hard emotion in relationship to somebody else who's also having a hard time doing it, where there's a level of compassion for the other person that does not cause you to collapse? And it's tricky. So the difference between emotional maturity and emotional capacity that we're talking about and tolerating abuse is like a fine line. Right? Because I'm not suggesting that you should tolerate abuse. But what I am saying is that if you're going to restructure defenses that are based in abuse, you are going to experience similar emotions from the past that were abusive, that feel abusive now, that may or may not actually be you being abused.
So maybe, I'm just asking, are you telling me this because, like, my husband will shut down and abandon me sometimes when he just cuts me off. Are you saying that's a transference from the past, like, happening?
What I'm saying is, not exactly. What I'm saying is, you are in the process of restructuring your defenses for yourself and in a relationship, those are hard. And what I'm saying is, it's also hard for him. And just because he's not making it easy for you, that does not equate to abusing you.
No, definitely not.
But the
But I
feelings
do.
in you can
Yes.
feel similar.
Yeah, and this has helped me because I understand the transference that I'm bringing into my love relationship. Absolutely.
Exactly. And so what I'm not saying is you should stay in the same thing where someone's intentionally hurting you and just tough it out. Like, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is defense restructuring for him and for you means revisiting old emotions of maybe abandonment for him or whatever it might be, shutting down, being overwhelmed, whatever's underneath there, panic, whatever it is,
Right.
and saying, oh, here it is again, and you're causing it, but God damn it, I had this before I met you. Okay, now or never, because if I don't do it now, it's going to be in the same relation, in the next relationship, in the same place. Let me just deal with this now, and let me work through these hard emotions with someone. And that would be both of you doing that. And that's a hard place to be. And that's why we want to stop short, because when you start calling it gaslighting and abuse, what you do is you question the other person's intention. And that is where all relational safety dies, right? It's one thing to say, I have been impacted in this way. It's another thing to say, you are gaslighting me. And this is not to say that if someone's gaslighting you, that you shouldn't name it and bail. If we're talking about like a generally healthy relationship where there isn't a history of actual abuse and you're working through old emotions that were abusive in the past based on real abuse that are surfacing now, we want to really pause on the character assumptions that we make of others, because it's just as hard for them as it is for you. And because here's the thing, women, I believe this to be true, women have physically not as strong bodies as men, biologically speaking. But the souls of women is they're fucking steel. They're like platinum, right? Men have these like physically strong bodies with these like super sensitive souls in a lot of ways, right? And so it's like a trade-off in a lot of ways. And so when a man shuts down and does that, what's happening inside his system is probably high levels of panic and vulnerability. That does not justify his behavior, right? But what we want is we want to make it safe enough for both of you to be in whatever defensive state you're in, understanding that both of you are trying to unravel years of doing it a different way. And
Yeah.
that's really, really hard to do.
Thank
Love
you.
that. Yeah. And what I can say is this, that like when you feel like lashing out at him, a little trick that you can do that could be helpful is instead of lashing out at him, tell him that you feel like it.
Oh, that's good.
Like, instead of being like, ah, right? You just say, I really feel like lashing out at you right now. So you can honor that part. And if you can talk about it when you're regulated, he can then know that when you say that, that means that you're in a state of panic and it's not personal to him. And you can say, it's terrifying for me to even lash out someone, let alone tell them I feel like it. So I actually, ironically, feel safe enough to tell you that in the moment. So he can contextualize, oh my gosh, she's being vulnerable with me and she feels safe enough to tell me that she feels like lashing out. I can hold this and not make it about me. And if you can pre-negotiate that before it happens, when it happens, it's not so personal to him. And you're owning your experience without dismissing it and giving setting him up to be successful to support you also. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, so awesome. Good to
Thank
see you
you.
back here.
Hey, it's Mastin. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. And before we wrap up, if you found value in this, one of the best ways to get this trauma-informed information to the world, if that's something that you want to do and to be a part of, spreading the word, I would be so very grateful if you could leave a review on Apple or Spotify podcasts so that you can review this and hopefully it's a good review, but please leave an honest review. And especially if you want to leave a 5-star review, I would be super stoked on that. But of course, just make it honest. But my goal is to share more trauma-informed information with the world. And I need your help to spread this information, and reviews matter. So if you feel called to do that, we'd very much appreciate it. If you got value from this episode and from this podcast, we'd very much appreciate it. And thank you so much for hearing me out. And if you feel called, please leave a review on Apple or Spotify, and we'll see you in the next episode.